I think I've always wondered what it would be like to build an airplane of my own. I know people say that you don't want to fly an airplane that I built. I don't know why they say that.
Why would they say that?
I don't know. I used to build really good model airplanes, but we have somebody with us right now that knows everything about building an airplane from scratch. Mark Cook is the editor-in-chief of Kit Planes, and he's also a journalist for 30 years. Kid to me. But he's a rated pilot, of course, but he's managed to complete two airplanes, an Aero Designs Pulsar XP and a Glassdoor Sportsman 2 Plus 2. So what's the secret, Mark? Welcome first.
Thank you.
What's the secret to building a kit plane?
Perseverance, more than anything else. A lot of it is the belief that you can do it. So, you know, I came into the industry. I was working for AOPA at the time. No one there really understood home builds particularly well. I mean, they're very much production aircraft centric, but there's something about the innovation and the new designs and the opportunity for expanding beyond the typical Cessna or Piper that really interested me at the time. So, you know, I jumped into the industry, and this was early 90s when I started to get interested in that. And I have to pay homage to the guys who built these airplanes. You mentioned from scratch earlier on. I didn't build anything from scratch. My first airplane was a full-on kit. And when you really look at what we started with in this industry, with a set of plans and here's where you can get the best spruce and here's the right kind of material to use, we've come along. I mean, even to that point in the mid-90s, early 90s, we'd come a long, long way from the roots of home-built aircraft. And I, you know, we still had that available, and that's the beauty of this. We still have, you can build stuff from plans, you can build stuff in your garage from things you bought at Home Depot if you really want to do it. That's obviously available to you. But we came a long way. So, you know, my first airplane was a kit. It was a big, you know, fiberglass plastic thing that I glued together. I had people come up to me and say, you're really going to put yourself in that airplane. I said, yeah, not only am I going to put my family in that airplane, too, because I believe in the design. I believe that I followed the directions. We had lots of checks and balances, and I was confident in it. So.
Well, and that's a really interesting point. When people are building kit airplanes, it's not as if they build them in their garage, finish them, and take them out to the airport and go fly.
Oh, no.
What kinds of checks and balances are there on a kit plane?
Well, there are a lot. Nowadays, they're self-enforced. I mean, there used to be an issue of you'd have a closing inspection. So before you closed off things where you couldn't see how the systems were laid together, you were required to do that. That hasn't been the case for a long time. But you have a number of things. You obviously do a lot of photography. Of course, it dates me now. I have a stack of slides and prints of the Pulsar coming together. So there's lots of documentation there. But, you know, as the manuals progress, the opportunity to check your own work as you go along really, really helps. And then there are user groups. So you've got lots of ways to talk to people and say, am I doing this the right way?
Yeah, tech counselors. My husband, after building the Kit Fox and then the RV-10, he became an EAA tech counselor. He also, in between, got his AMP because he had the repairman certificate. He got so interested in that side of it that he went ahead and he capitalized on the skills that he had, and that AMP came in very handy when in between airplanes we had a certified airplane. So there's lots of new skills that you end up having. And now he is one of those people who goes and consults. He's called regularly from three different EAA chapters in our region to go take a look at the project and tell somebody how they're doing, maybe make suggestions. It's really important to have those user groups and forums and tips. I mean, it's a big group of people. How many home builds are out there now flying? Mm-hmm.
Well, we have more than 30,000 out there flying, and you know we have lots of groups. Obviously, the vans are the predominant group, and we have a really vibrant community around that. It's probably no joke to say that on any good-sized airport, there's probably at least one RV being built, and probably multiple being built. So you have the opportunity to, in your own area or maybe an airport or two away, to get firsthand help with someone who's in the process. And of course, it's all a continuum. You know, you have people just starting, you have people who have finished their airplanes. We have lots of repeat offenders. So people will build one, and then they'll go, well, I really kind of want the four-seater. I really want a tail dragger. I really want a different kind of airplane. So they'll build multiple types, and they gain experience from each one of those things. And we all have made mistakes in airplanes. I mean, if you looked at either of my airplanes and, you know, stood next to it, you wouldn't see the 30 things that I see that just go, oh, God, why didn't I do that better?
Oh, yeah, ours is not a show plane either. I totally understand what you're talking about.
But you do deep dive, and I think that's one of the beauties of building your own, you know, whether it was the long way with the Pulsar through the 2 weeks of taxi program that I did with the Sportsman, you get a truly intimate knowledge and experience in that airplane. You know, if something feels funny in the control system, you know, okay, it's probably this or this, and it's not a guess. You know it because you built it, you've seen it, and you've seen the thing completely naked.
Now let's talk about outreach and growth. Aviation in general, the numbers bother me, because every year I look at the FAA stats and pilot populations aging and shrinking. What are we going to do about this?
Well, it's a tough thing. And you know, Amy, you know this. And as I went away from airplanes for a while, I went and played with motorcycles for a little bit and worked in some e-commerce. And I don't know if it makes us feel any better or not, but motorcycling has much the same problem. You have a core group of people who came up through it, baby boomer-ish. And as they start to either, they age out either through injury or lack of interest or something like that, and they, you know, the pool shrinks. The question, and this is the question given to big companies like Honda and Yamaha and Kawasaki and Harley Davidson and Ducati, how do we fill the I hate to say the bottom end of the funnel, how do we fill the funnel? So we really do need to think about who's the next customer. How do we get people interested in home builds? And my feeling is, and this is something I want to go forward with in kid planes, is video content is a huge, huge part of it. We haven't done nearly as much as we should, honestly. So you reach people through YouTube and social media in ways that you're not going to get on the newsstand. I mean, we don't have newsstand sales anymore. I mean, that's kind of a thing of the past. So how do you reach these people where they are? How do you get to them where they are? And I think that requires a bit of explanation. We've all had that idea of what is a home built. You actually can build your own airplane. I don't know how many cocktail parties I've been to where I say what I do and they go, you can do that? Really?
Yeah.
And, you know, then I have a 30-second elevator pitch. It's like, no, okay, that you can do that. And it's really a lot of fun and you get a lot of value out of it. So we need to introduce a whole generation of people who may not even be thinking about flying at all, as this is a possibility of something. You know, there's a huge maker undercurrent. There's a lot of people. We see a lot in motorcycling. We somewhat derisively call them hipsters, but they're guys who will take 70s Hondas and completely tear them down and rebuild them and make something. They make art out of these things. And if you really think about what they're doing, it scales. You could scale that to maybe it's a restoration of an older GA airplane, or maybe it's building of a modern classic airplane. You know, Kit Fox comes to mind. So I think there's some interest there. There's some nascent interest that we just have to go, we have to kind of pick away at it and get the right message to them and tell the right story. This is fun. These are great airplanes. Flying is tremendously fun. It's tremendously valuable. It's hugely rewarding. And there's nothing more rewarding than hopping in an airplane you built.
Oh, I would agree with you 100%. There's also one other factor about building as opposed to buying, and that's affordability. And it's affordability on two factors. One, you have the fact that avionics and general ability to make choices about how you put your airplane together that can make it very, very affordable for you. But also, on the backside of it, with your repairman certificate and the fact that you're not constantly searching for certified parts that have to have a TSO and all this other stuff, it's much more affordable on the backside.
Oh, no question. I mean, it's a little apples and oranges, but the airplane I had before the Sportsman was a Bonanza. Bonanza guys are going to be upset with me. They can be a money pit. Mine was perhaps not as well maintained in its past as it could have been. A little asterisk right there. But the annual on that airplane could be, you know, really range from completely dispiriting to horrifying. And the Sportsman, albeit a much newer, much simpler airplane, was virtually cost-free. I mean, spark plugs, the occasional tire, things like that. Combination of being a brand new airplane and being something that I can go do the work on, and it's a lot of off-the-shelf stuff. There are a couple of Beechcraft parts that I had ordered that I had to sit down. I was in a cold sweat for the cost of those. So home built to get around that in a really important way. And it really is nice. Again, you're opening up your own airplane. You're understanding it so well. And you're really, if you have built the airplane, you are 100% qualified to maintain it.
So if people were wondering, what's a good airplane to start on that I want to build? Is there a kit that is kind of the I don't want to say the baby version, but I should say a version that's not too terribly complex for someone that would like to begin and actually get to the end and fly the airplane?
That's a good question. It's extremely hard to answer, and I'm going to pivot to the.
We'll just scratch that question.
No. I think it really it comes down to what's the airplane that you like. I mean, what do you want to do with it? What kind of flying do you think you want to do? Do you like a traditional high wing tail dragger? Do you want something sleeker like an RV-12? It really is what interests me, and then do your research. What are the reputable companies in that area?
And Kitplanes has a tremendous website where you can do a lot of that research. Where can they find Kitplanes? Here on the field and also on the web.
We are actually in the C building at 1008 and kitplanes.com, and we have a brand new website that just launched. It's gorgeous. I want to thank Omar, our IT guy, for making it happen. I'm really happy with it.
Oh, that is awesome. We've been speaking with Mark Cook. He is the editor-in-chief of Kitplanes magazine. Go see him in the hangars or online. Thanks so much for being a guest on EAA Radio.
Thanks, Mark. My pleasure.